Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Ephesians. So get close to your radio and bring your Bible now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Ephesians. We are making our way through the New Testament. And we are right in the midst of what I call the General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Those are power-packed books, and I call them the General Electric Power Company. Can you remember that with me? General Electric Power Company. The G stand for what book? The E stand for what book? The P stand for what book? And the C stand for what book? That's the General Electric Power Company. These are the power. If you want to really be a strong Christian, you need to go and grab the General Electric Power Company, and you'll become a real strong Christian. How many of you enjoyed that series out of the book of Colossians that we was teaching? One, you enlightened about what God has done for you and how you should go about doing now for God. Didn't you get some strength from that book? Amen. Amen. What about the book of Galatians that we just finished? Amen. It was teaching us about law and grace. And this book of Ephesians, we're going to be learning about the church. Let's look, first of all, at some background information as we go into the book. The city of Ephesus was a province of Rome, the chief city in Asia Minor, of which is modern-day Turkey. It became great because, number one, of its location. It was located near the Cytus River. Highways connected it with other chief cities in Asia Minor. Most cities, if they was located near a major water port or major highways, major roads, then that city began to boom. How many of you know that one of the ways that our country in America grew is through ports and through railroads? A lot of the major cities in America, they built around a transportation center. They was either major seaports like New York and Houston, even LA, or they had railroads, major railroads coming through, such as Chicago. Boy, I mean, when you go to Chicago, you're going to see some railroads. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. All right, so that was one of the things that made this city great. It was centered near this river and highway, and that made it real good for commerce. It became the commercial capital of Asia. It was also great because of the Temple of Diana, which was one of the seven wonders of the world. The Temple of Diana was not only a place of worship, but it was a place of banking. It was a treasure house. People all over Asia brought their money and stored it in the Temple of Diana. Isn't that something? Why do you think the people brought their money to the temple and used that as a bank? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that... Oh, boy, this is kind of hard question to ask in 2006. But should not one of the safest places be is the church. You wouldn't think that we would have to have burglar bars on the church, would you? I mean, you wouldn't think that we would have to have, you know, a security system monitoring the church, would you? I mean, in a realistic sense, in a world where you got morals and values, I mean, you just wouldn't think that anybody would break into church. See, even 30 years ago, I mean, that was unheard of, somebody breaking in the church. They would leave the church doors open a lot of times, and you could just go on by and pray in a church. But not since the 80s in America. It looked like things done changed, hadn't it? But the church and religious temples and things like that used to be one of the safest places to be. And if you wanted to take your treasures there, they would be safe there. And so the Temple of Diana, it was great because it was a banking institution. The temple also served as a museum where the best statues and paintings were preserved. And so that's what made it one of the seven wonders of the world. All right. Also, the church there at Ephesus. Paul visited this city of Ephesus in his second and his third missionary journey. Paul taught in the school of Tyrannus in Acts 19, 9, and 10. For about 2 years, what Paul ministered is spread throughout Asia. Turn with me to Acts 19 right quick, and I want you to see something. Look at what this scripture says. Acts 19, verses 8 through 10. You'll find these words. Acts 19, starting with verse 8. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil that way because of the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for a space of how many years? 2 years, so that all they who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now that's a powerful statement right there. Paul stayed in one place for 2 years, and the gospel spread it throughout all of Asia. That's power. Isn't that something? So what do that tell you there? What kind of ministry did Paul have? See, most of us think that the church is a strong church because of its ability to attract and to go up in numbers. No. The strength of a church is not in its ability to attract, but it's in its ability to train and to send out. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Listen. When God destroyed the Tower of Babel, or Babel, however you want to pronounce it, in Genesis chapter 12. Why did he destroy them? What was they doing? They were just attracting and just building up, and they was going up. That was not the command. What was the command to Adam? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. When Noah got off the boat, what did God tell Noah? Noah, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What did Jesus give his disciples in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and lo, I be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Who was Jesus? He was the last Adam. The same command that God gave the first one was the same command Jesus gave the church. It's to spread out. Do you know why the church is so weak today? It's because we want to just assemble ourselves together and say, hey, look how big we are. No. You got to spread out. Listen, how many of y'all going to go and watch the Cowboys play against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday and just watch them in a huddle? No. Ain't nobody going to pay them. People would want their money back if they just going to, if all the team just going to huddle up on the sideline and say, hey, let's get them. No. They want them to come out there on that field. Huh? They got spread out of them. When they break huddle, what do? They spread out. You got a center, then you got a guard, then you got a tackle, then you got a tight end, then you got your wide receiver, and you got the same thing on this other side over here. Then you got running. You got spread out in order to get something done. You got to spread out. Paul got some things accomplished because when he started teaching the people, man, they left. One went that way, one went north, one went south. They spread it out all over Asia. Amen. And see, that ought to be the ministry of the local church. The local church, you ought to come here on Sunday morning, hear what thus said the Lord, but then we break huddle and we spread out. There are people on your job that you see that he never will see. There are people that she will see that he never will see. There are people that he will see that he won't see. You see, we're spreading out. That's the role of the church. The role of the church is to carry the gospel throughout the whole world. Matter of fact, Jesus said he can't come back until the gospel has been preached to the whole world. Somebody said, why come God won't hurry up and come back? Because the church ain't took the gospel. We got to take the gospel to the whole world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he can't come back until the last person that's supposed to get in the church is in the church. Just like it was with Noah, the last animal that was supposed to be on the boat. God did not close the door until that animal was on the boat. Amen. And in the same way, the church door is still open until the last one come in. Now, we don't know when the last one come in. The last one may come in tomorrow. That's why you got to be ready tonight. Because if he come tomorrow, if he come 1 minute after 12 o'clock, you can't say, oh, let me get ready. No. He said, be ye also ready. He said, be also ready. Be ready. He didn't say get ready. He says, be ready. Amen. All right. So that's a powerful statement. Sometimes we see these little statements and we just read on. But that's a powerful statement how a man can preach the gospel in one spot for 2 years and affect a whole continent. That's powerful. Amen. And didn't have radio, didn't have television to do it. Powerful. That means somebody was on fire for the Lord carrying that gospel wherever they went. Amen. 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 All right. Paul's ministry there in Ephesus greatly influenced the city so much that many who practiced witchcraft, woo-wee, cleaned their homes, burned their books on magic, which hurt the profits of the silversmith and those who sold the demonic thing. How many of you know that wherever the gospel goes, it will change a person's religion? Yeah, that's the first thing it'll change. But it also changed a person's pocketbook. It changes. Let me just bring it down to y'all level then. Since you've been saved, since you've been born again, I'm talking to the born againers now. Since you've been saved, since you've been born again, have your spending habits changed? If your spending habits hadn't changed, then you need to get in the other camp over there and get saved. Because one of the things about the power of God, it changes your want-tos. If your want-tos hadn't changed, something wrong. It changes your desires. Yes, it do. You may, before you got saved, you may had a desire to just party on Friday and Saturday. And how many of you know it costs some money to party? Let me tell you the truth. Sin has an economic value to it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. A lot of us can't keep some money in our pocket because we got some bad habits. Can I bring it on down? Bad habits. Bad habits gets in your pocketbook. I know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't want y'all to say amen. Y'all acting all cold and everything. That's all right. I know I'm coming to your neighborhood. Amen. You can't say the things I used to do, I don't do them no more without that affecting your pocketbook. That statement affects your pocketbook right there. Amen. Because I know sin is big business. Yes, it is. Sin costs you. Sin costs you your time, your talent, your treasure, and sin costs you your family. Yes, it will. It'll cost you your family. It costs you your husband, your wife. Sin costs. Sin makes you have to pay child support. Sin costs. I know what I'm talking about. Somebody's singing tonight, boy, it's cheaper to keep them. Because sin costs. Oh, yes, it do. Sin costs. Let me come out of your neighborhood. Yeah, I'm in your neighborhood too much. The date. This book was written when Paul was a prisoner for 2 years in Rome. Let me back up. I can't let this go. Let me come back in the neighborhood. Since I'm around the corner, I ain't too far. I just might as well just turn back right back around. Do you know we could just about shut down a lot of the devices, a lot of vices in the community, like the gambling houses, the lotteries, if Christians stop going to them and participate? Amen. Amen. We would hurt the business. But the problem is too many Christians are going to the riverboat. Huh? Well, let me bag up and come to the neighborhood again. Y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Because, see, y'all don't go there. But let me, if y'all can just bag back to your pre-Bible way days. That's what we're talking about. We ain't talking about right now. We're talking about your pre-Bible way days. Before you came the Bible way. Amen. A lot of these jib joints could be shut down if a lot of the church folks wouldn't be showing up. Now I can move on out the neighborhood now. Amen. We can move on out. Everybody say amen. Everybody start nodding out. Yeah. See, I forgot. Y'all can't be going down there to them big places. You know what I'm talking about. Where they got the major highway where you can see it. You know, you can see the gambling house. You don't want to go there because almost anybody could stop by and see you. See, y'all be going, I'm talking about the pre-Bible way days now. Y'all be going to these places that you know, you go down this road, then you take that curve, then at that tree, you turn at that tree. And that's it. That's it. That little house right there. That's it right there. Amen. Amen. Well, we got to pump some light in down there. It's so dark. Amen. Now, y'all know about that, but that was the pre-Bible way day. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You don't have to go down in them places. You know, a lot of times, you know, you watch this, put this television show name called Lost. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lost. I know what a lot of folks thought they was talking about when they said lost. They was thinking they was talking about a jib joint because they was lost looking for it. Let me get out of your neighborhood. I'm in your neighborhood too much. Yeah, that is a pre-Bible way. The purpose of this book was written to help Christians understand the mystery of the church. Do you know the church is a mystery? The church is a New Testament doctrine. You won't find the church in the Old Testament. And the church is a mystery. Matthew 16, Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. Amen. In writing this book, Paul set forth the great doctrines of the church in the first three chapters. Then he set forth the duties of the believers in the final three chapters. Now, I want you to really study the teaching methodology of the Apostle Paul. If you are a parent, study the teaching methodology of the Bible. They always teach you before they correct you. You see? Warnings always come before disciplines. Amen. Amen. So teaching always comes before duty. And this is what Paul is going to give us three chapters of powerful teaching, the doctrines of the church. And then he's going to come back with three chapters of duty. Now, a lot of times, one of the reasons that Christians are so confused is because they put duty before doctrine. When I was going to seminary, a lot of preachers had to confess that they got their burning before they got their learning. They started preaching before they knew what to preach about. And a lot of Christians in church, they get saved or they join church and they're ready to work in a church, but they don't know about the church and cause havoc in the church. You see, you need to learn doctrine before duty. Keep in mind, Jesus taught his disciples 3 years before he sent them out. So don't be too anxious to do. Be anxious to be. There's a whole lot more in the Bible about being than doing. As a matter of fact, once you start being, you will do. See, the Bible didn't ask you to go and witness, it says be one. See, if you be one, then that's automatic. The witness is going to come automatic. Do you see? See, when you start trying to do stuff without being what you're supposed to do, then you're fake. Huh? See, you need to be something before you try to do something. Uh-huh. Is everybody with me? Amen. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.